sometimes, Jackie, reality's a little difficult for us, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
This week I read a sentence that I didn't want to believe, but it's true. 99% of what we do flows from what we treasure. 99% of what we do flows from what we treasure. What is it that we value? What is it that we hold in high regard? What is our treasure? And we know that Jesus said something about this, where your treasure is, there your heart.
Your heart is.
Also. And I want you to write that down. If you're a note taker today, you have your notes. And this week I gave you a few blanks to fill in. Last week some of you were having tremors because there weren't any blanks,
no notes,
Jackie.
No.
So we got back to that this week. So you can have a few blanks to fill in. Thanksgiving, Jackie, is a choice I make because I treasure God and acknowledge that He is the source of all of the good things in my life. Mm-hmm. And then this is the hard part, that He is still the ever-faithful sovereign God who is working in the very difficult circumstances of my life to bring about the best things in my life. That's a little hard to...
It's hard.
It's hard.
It's a challenge.
As I look at my life, the hardest things that I've gone through have created in my experience the things that I value the most. That's not to say that I'm hoping for more hardship. I'm just saying. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Thanksgiving is a choice I make. Gratitude is a decision that cannot be taken away from me. I can make the decision to be grateful to God on a daily basis for who He is and what He's doing in the world and what He's doing in my life. And so I need to be happy about and feel blessed and grateful for the good things He's doing in someone else's life. And I need to look in the mirror and realize that my glass isn't empty. Say it with me.
My glass isn't empty.
Say it again. My glass isn't empty. Thanksgiving is a choice I make because I treasure God and acknowledge that He is the source of all that is good in my life, as well as realizing He is at work in the very difficult and trying circumstances in my situation, and from those will bring about what later on I treasure as the greatest things about my life. Now here today, in this worship experience, we are choosing to praise God. We're choosing to worship. We've had great music, good fellowship. We're here. We've made that choice because we treasure God and we value His people. How many of you look forward to sitting near a certain person every week in church?
You better say that.
Okay, Tom, that's good. But you're really glad to be sitting in front of Bill, right? All right, we value God's people. We choose to carve out some time Sunday morning to be with this local body, with this group of people, because this is what we treasure. The scripture for today is Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. And Jackie, guess what?
What?
This is it.
This is it. Praise the Lord.
All right. This is it. This is it. Hebrews is done today.
Finally.
All right. Okay. All right. Hey, we started on Thanksgiving last year. We ended on Thanksgiving this year.
Yes.
Okay. I can take a hint.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm ready to roll.
All right. But listen, the crescendo, the The end justifies and gives meaning to the beginning and all the way through, because the author says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. And don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. Now, as I look at these few verses, I see the ingredients for dynamic faith. And I wanted to have Jackie with me here today because as I look at this, Jackie, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the emotional, the mental, emotional, and physical benefits of practicing the Scripture. And I felt it would be wise to have you give a little testimony of that. And I want to tear these few verses apart and help us to see that as we have digested this book together and we've understood all of the beautiful and powerful and majestic and glorious things about Jesus Christ, they come to their conclusion in our hearts, find their resting place in our minds, and the result is, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Four dynamics of a powerful faith, or four ingredients of a dynamic faith, begin with this word, awareness. The word therefore reminds us of all of the material leading up to this point. Awareness of what? Of how awesome Jesus is. And during this year, I've been on a Jesus high. Okay, how awesome is Jesus? He is incredible. And this author says He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than the Old Testament law. Why? Because He fulfills the law. The Old Testament law is incomplete, but Jesus is complete. The Old Testament sacrifices needed to be made over and over again, but Jesus is the sacrifice once and for all. There is no need anymore for sacrifice. The priests in the past, Jackie, the Old Testament covenant, had to offer sacrifices for their own sins, and then for the sins of people. But Jesus comes, and He is the eternal high priest, the great high priest who knew no sin, and yet He became sin for us that we might know the righteousness of God. So there'll never be any question. And so therefore, because Jesus is so awesome, because the benefits of embracing Jesus by faith is so tremendous, therefore, let us offer to God a sacrifice of worship and praise. What are we doing? This awareness is about recognizing the great gift of God's grace that is applied to you and to me. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 8 to 14 speak of this. It's kind of a snapshot of the entire book regarding the beauty and the power and the majesty of Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the great high priest, the final sacrifice. And He is enough for you and for me. And so it recaps the entire letter. And so we need to be aware of the glory and the majesty and the awesomeness of Jesus. And that's where we begin. So my thought is, and my question is, Jackie, how can we maintain this awareness? How is it that we can keep in our minds this awareness of the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Jesus? Yeah, any thoughts on that?
Some days I think it's just a matter of just looking outside the window and saying, you know, look at the beauty around me. You know, making that, you know, aware of, my goodness, look how awesome He is. Look what He's made, especially during the fall and the different seasons, where you can really see the trees popping and you say, my goodness, how awesome is that? How wonderful is that? And God is there. Sometimes in my darkest place, and all you have to do is look at a flower or a plant and say, a puppy, a cat, and go, wow, isn't he great? Isn't he awesome? Look at the things that he's done. And sometimes I think we find it in the smallest little things, even the awareness of a child who gives you a kiss or somebody who says they love you. Mm-hmm. I think it's all around.
Yeah. The creative handiwork of God, everything around that you can see, just looking outside, going for a walk, is one way to maintain this awareness. Another way, and this goes with it. It should go hand in hand with that, the observation of creation, is the steady diet of divine revelation, that is God's Word. How do I stay immersed in this awareness of the beauty and the awesomeness of Jesus? By reading the Bible. There's a reminder of the beauty and the power and the majesty of Jesus Christ everywhere you look in Scripture. And so as you acknowledge creation, you look at the stars at night, you look at the sunrise, you look at the fall of foliage, the coming of winter. So many things about winter are just beautiful. You partner that with the reading, the meditating upon God's Word. Look at any book of the Bible, and you will see a celebration of the sun. And that's why being in Scripture on a daily basis, a regular basis, is so important, because it heightens our awareness of the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Jesus. Ingredients of a dynamic faith. The first one is awareness. Therefore, it's making us aware. The second ingredient has to do with worship. And the word that I've used there to describe it is active. Our worship should be active. Not a passive thing, but an active thing. He says, let us offer. This has in mind that we're going to do something. You know, we're going to make plans to get ready, get our hearts ready, get our minds ready to come and to worship on a day like today. We're going to carve out some time to be with some people. Let us offer through Jesus a sacrifice, a continual sacrifice. And so this active worship is very important. And look at these steps here. Let us offer through Jesus, meaning he is the one who gives us access to worship and to God. Let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God. Now, Jackie, let's state the obvious. What does the word continual mean?
Constant, ongoing, just never ending.
Okay, this idea is, it's not something we do with the pastor and the faith community nurse once a week. This is a continual state of mind. It's a continual condition of the heart that we are worshipers and we are in this attitude. We're participating and active in our worship on a regular basis. And it's just going, ongoing, ongoing, ongoing. The word sacrifice is used in these two verses two times. And I think it's interesting. The author could have basically said the same thing without using these words, this word twice, sacrifice. When you think of the word sacrifice, I'm making a sacrifice, what comes to mind?
If you're making a sacrifice, it means you're giving something up to do something else. That maybe you wanted to go to the mall shopping, but instead you're going to church or you're going to meet with a friend, you know, and have a small Bible study, but you're giving something else up.
Right, okay. Or, you know, I could listen to one more hour of talk radio, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to read my Bible, I'm going to meditate on Scripture, or I'm going to read a good book. Tim Keller just came out with a new book called The Songs of Jesus, and it's all about the Psalms. It's his commentary and reflections on the Psalter, the Psalms 101 through 150. So I encourage you to buy that book and to take time to read it. You could, you know, you could listen to, you could watch another hour of Fox News. You know, you're gonna get the scoop. You know,
get depressed.
Get the right opinion on Fox News. You could listen to that and read, look at that one more hour, or you could spend that time with God. And I beg you to look at your calendar and your hourly activity and ask yourself, are you making a sacrifice to be with God and to be with Jesus? This means, the word sacrifice here, Jackie, means the worship is costly. You carve time out of your day. You listen to inspiring music. I know music's a big part of your life and your worship. Why does it mean so much to you?
Because some ever have a time when you like can't think of the words to say, or you're not sure. But if you put on the music, it helps get you in a place where you can relax, and they think as you sing the words, you're saying a prayer, mm-hmm. you're worshiping. And you don't have to think about it, or you don't have to find the right scripture. I was just thinking, you know, when I see the word sacrifice, he brings the sacrifice of praise. Well, now that I'll just start singing that song. And that's what I like about it.
The nice thing about music and your own private time of worship is you can choose to listen to whatever Christian music you want. It can be have lyrics with it. It can just be instrumental. It could be any instrument. You can, you know, go on Pandora, Spotify, whatever you want to do, or your 8-track, okay, the Statler Brothers.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, some of you just woke up. Okay. Music's a very important part of this because God has intended that music move our emotions. And so I encourage you to use music to be a part of this sacrifice of praise. This is costly. You're going to give something up in order to make it happen. I'm glad you said that, Jackie. What is praise? Very simply, praise is a declaration of worth. When I praise God, I am declaring His worth, and His worth is priceless. The goodness, the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the beauty of God. He's the author and the perfecter of our faith. He is the reason we need not fear judgment. Jesus is the bright and morning star. His mercies are new when? Every morning. All right. We declare His worth, and we spend time writing prayers. We spend time writing poems. We spend time listening or writing music. So God has gifted people to do various things to inspire us to be in this spirit of worship. And so it's about awareness. It's about active worship. That is a sacrifice. But number three, it's also about a lifestyle of the unashamed, an unashamed lifestyle. Notice, what does the verse say? Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. This is meant to be something that is public in your life. Being public about your faith simply means that you're not hiding the wellspring of your life, not hiding who you truly are. And so this idea of worship, it may be private worship, it begins to show itself publicly by the way you identify with Jesus. And so the question would be, at your place of employment, do people understand? Are they aware of your faith, of your love for Jesus? Do you, in appropriate ways, express your faith and identify yourself with the person of Jesus? And I don't mean, you know, going around bugging people or being annoying. If the word Christian and annoying immediately come to mind when people think of you, then you might want to make some halftime adjustments, okay? I'm talking about living a life that's admirable, a life that's winsome, having a witness that people see as a fountain, not a drain, not something that's annoying, but at your place of employment, you're a part of why that organization succeeds. You're not someone that people see and then turn the other way because you're annoying with your faith, but you're a light and it shines. Be a part of the people of the unashamed. Be identified with the name of Jesus, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. You pray about how that can be more and more a reality in your life, in your situation. Now, all of this is leading this worship that takes place in private, where no one is with you, no one sees your interactions with God, the pleadings of your heart, your meditation upon Scripture, your enjoying Christian music, the relationship that's give and take and passionate with God. But it becomes public because what happens privately becomes public. And so you go into worship as a part of your life and it just oozes out in public. You desire to come to a corporate experience like this on Sunday morning, but it continues from there. And then Scripture implies that it's transformed. This worship is transformed into a compassion and a benevolence towards other individuals. Because you realize how good God has been to you, then all of a sudden you naturally are noticing needs around you and you're being good to others. And that's the overflow of the heart. And so the author says, not just be passionate about worship, but be passionate about witness, but don't forget. Don't forget to what? What's the first thing he says, Jackie? Don't forget to what?
To remember others.
To do good. Say it with me. Don't forget to
do good.
To remember others. To bless your community. That's really what it means. This is the only time in the entire New Testament this Greek word for good is used. And it means to bless others. And so we need to think about what we're doing individually to bless others. This is the season, after all, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
This is the season to be blessing others. And so today I'm asking you a question. How can you bless your community? We're called to do two things here, to do good and to share with those in need. It's possible to do good and bless your community and it not necessarily be a direct benefit to the needy. And so it's kind of, there's two facets here. Bless your community in a way that would be a good thing for all people, but then also remember that God's heart breaks for those who are poor, who are needy, and find a way to share with those in need. And so here's the truth. The passionate worship of God through Jesus fills us to overflowing, and compassion for people is then the natural overflow from being filled with the Spirit of God and the love of God. And so I'm asking you, grandfather, father, I'm asking you, grandmother, mother, I'm asking you, young couple, I'm asking you, singles, what are you going to do between now and the new year to bless your community and to share with those who are in need? Now, I want you to notice something else. The word sacrifice is used again. Don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices that please God. And so you remember that this is a sacrifice. This act of doing good and sharing with those in need should be expensive in a sense that you will have to go without something in order to do it. It's going to cost you. Now, the other day, Kathy and I, we got the little goldenrod square of paper in our mailbox, as she loves to see. It means that we can give all the things that we don't want away. All the clothes, you know what I mean? And they punch a little hole on the day they're coming. And so we got bags of clothes and things that we no longer want. Some of them things that our children have not yet removed from our house. Okay, they no longer exist for their enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Because we gave them away. Sorry, Matt. Now, that's a nice thing to do because people will use those things, but it costs me nothing. I was glad to see that man come. I actually was pulling away when he came in. I rolled down my window. I said, "Hey, how you doing? Thank you so much." And he looked at me and he said, "Well, thank you." And I thought about this sermon because I checked my spirit. And I said, although that is benefiting some needy people, it really is not a sacrifice in the sense that this scripture is speaking of. It wasn't a bad thing to do, right?
Right.
Okay. But it was not a sacrifice because I couldn't wait for that truck to come so there would be more space in my house.
For other stuff.
In our closet. Okay. Now, we are simplifying. No. God bless the simple. And God bless not owing anyone anything. All right? What are you going to do? And how is it a sacrifice? How is it going to cost you? What is it that you're going to do that is a sacrifice that blesses the needy, that blesses the community? Now, one of the things that we thought about this week, didn't we, Jackie?
Yeah, we thought.
Was how is Trinity blessing the greater Boyertown community? But I got a little carried away. Talk to us, when you think of these scriptures, mm-hmm. talk to us, and I apologize. I'll get it right the next service.
That's all right.
Talk to us about the emotional, mental, physical benefits of obeying the scripture.
Well, it's really easy for me because I see it every time I go to see someone in the hospital or at a home visit, and I pray with them. And I can guarantee, no matter what is going on in their life, if we just sit down and we pray, their heart rate goes down, their shoulders that were like this relax. I have a new person when I'm praying with them, and it's just so neat because you can just feel the Holy Spirit come and soothe them and calm them. And I think that's one of the biggest blessings that I get out of this job is to be able to witness that and to see people do it. But there have been a lot of studies done. What does prayer do? What does it have? Does it really have a physical effect on people? You know, is it really worth anything? And I think you can tell that it is because more and more hospitals are doing things to increase the spiritual awareness of the staff to help minister to people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is your emotions cause your blood pressure, your nervous system, your metabolic rate. They all increase the more you get, more anxious you get. And it sends everything haywire. You can't think as straight. It sends off crazy chemicals, and then you get very fiddled, in the Dutch word, that you just can't think straight. Whereas when you're calmed either through prayer. Maybe that's a ritual for some people of praying or having someone pray with them or listening to music. It will inevitably bring their heart rate down. It will calm their metabolic system. The benefits are amazing. And they have found, which is really neat, that intercessory prayer. And a lot of people say, well, will you pray for me? And people will often think, oh, I wonder if it does any good. Let me tell you, it does. Because they've also done some studies where they've had intercessory prayer versus people who've prayed with people in the hospital. It is just almost as effective as somebody being there. And the results have been remarkable. And there's a Dr. Caney who... this is his life work. He is a psychiatrist. He's a Christian psychologist out of Canada. He's very proactive with the faith community, and I've had the pleasure of hearing him speak and attending his lectures several times. He is the spearhead for a lot of our research, and it's not just research in the religious community. It is the research that is being presented to physicians, hospitals, and he goes all over the world. But I thought these were the statistics that I thought were really, really neat. Hospitalized people who never attended church have an average stay of 3 times longer than people who attended regularly. 3 times longer. So see, you're in the pew for a reason. It's going to help. Heart patients were 14 times more likely to die following surgery if they did not participate in a religion. Is that not dramatic or what? 14 times. Elderly people who never or rarely attended church had a stroke double the rate of people who regularly attended church. Okay, you got a whole new perspective on coming to church now. And in Israel, I thought that was really interesting. In Israel, religious people had a 40% lower death rate from cardiovascular disease and cancers when they were religious and being in the synagogue. Mm-hmm. So it's not really that it matters what religion you are. If that faith is there, and that faith is usually drawn on a higher power, of course ours is Jesus and God, it makes a huge difference. And we see it in the hospital all the time. The cancer centers will tell you they give less medicine. They have to give less anti-sickness medicine. These people are calmer. They do far better than those who don't have a faith, as well as people go to the OR. It's really remarkable.
Okay, thank you. So I actually listed 36 things that I could think of how Trinity is blessing the greater Boyertown community and beyond. And we're going to talk about a few of them. I'm not going to talk about all of them. But I also left some spaces blank. There are 4 spaces blank at the bottom. Perhaps you know of a way that we might start blessing our community that isn't listed or that we're not currently doing. And We're listing these things because if you're a little stumped about, okay, what am I going to do to fulfill the action plan of doing good, blessing the community, helping those in need, well, you can participate in one of these ways. Jackie and I are going to just share a few that we are thinking about. So you go first.
Okay, let's do Operation Backpack. I think it's one of the neatest ministries we have, and it's downstairs with the children. And the children have backpacks all lined up, and they come and they bring canned goods or whatever in, put them in the backpacks. And then these backpacks are delivered to the area school districts, and they're given them to children who will take them home and have them for over the weekend, because many of the families won't have a lot of food for over the weekend. So this is a way that our children here, by just a can of peas, a can of corn, can really have a meaningful impact on the community, because then other children are being fed, and they not only get the food, but they also know that someone cares about them enough to do this for them.
Very good, thank you. Operation Backpack. Now, I have a couple things. Here's my good friend, Woofy. Oh. How many of you have a Woofy? How many of you have ever given a Woofy away? Rick and Sue Geist, did you ever give a Woofy away? Oh, yeah. Oh. Could you stand, please? I'm going to embarrass you.
If you didn't hear me, you said 66,000.
66,000 Woofies. God moved in the heart of Rick and Sue, and they decided to be active in retirement. And I think they're busier in retirement serving God and using a wonderful tool like Woofy, the missionary puppy, to encourage and bless and share the love of Jesus with so many people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And I give these away. And it's a wonderful ministry, and it's blessed this community, but it's also blessed the entire world. And so if you are not aware of who Woofy is, we want you to go on the website, www.woofy.org.
Woofy.org.
And we just want to encourage you to use this if the opportunity arrives. Let's see if he can sit, Ubu. There we go. Sit, Woofy. Woofy sat. This is a Christmas stocking. One of our missionaries, Joe Toy. Somebody thought it was Christmas toys for missions, and that they didn't realize that Joe Toy, his last name is Toy. But these are out in the lobby that you can pick up. The instructions are here. You can fill the stocking, bring it in within the next week or so, and these go to inner city children in Philadelphia who may not get much of anything beyond this. And I love that ministry. It you know, the greater Boyertown area stretches to Philly. I mean, this is just a suburb of Philly, right? It's the way it's getting. I love these two ministries, so you go ahead.
Another one, one I realized we didn't put on the list that is so precious, and I doubt many people know about it, is we do have a gentleman who, his ministry is to prisoners, people either in prison or when they come out of prison, and to help them support that through that. And I just think it's so awesome, and sadly, he's getting more and more clients, you know, we're having to refer to him. But I'm so indeed grateful for that ministry.
I see one on here, a faith community nurse.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I have no idea. Never heard of it.
It's there aren't very many churches that have a faith community nurse on their staff. And I really appreciate you and how you bless our community because of your expertise and your awareness of so many ways to assist people, to counsel them, to care for them. And so I appreciate you. And I hope that we all would, shall we? And one of the other ministries that you represent is the ministry of visitation, mm-hmm. which there are a lot of people, many of you here, understand the value of going and visiting someone in need. An elderly person, someone in a nursing home, someone who's sick, someone who just needs to be encouraged. And there's a lot of that going on here, and you're a blessing, and that's a way that we bless our community.
Yeah, and one of the really neat things is not only do you get to visit people and bless them, but there's two parts of this that I want to bring out. Number one, I know even for us, for the pastoral staff, when we do pastoral care in a hospital situation, a lot of times we're praying with that person that we came to see. Usually there's somebody in the other bed. 9 times out of 10, we'll open the curtain, they'll say, "Will you pray for me?" Or there'll be staff in there, and they they stop. They stop what they're doing, and they appreciate the prayers as well. I've done that with people going into the OR, and we just take the whole OR team around this person and pray with them. I don't know if I've ever had anyone refuse prayer like that, but that is one of the neatest things, that God will use you when you think you're going to do one thing, and he's got something else for you to do, to bless someone else that you don't even know. And then the other thing is that's happening with our visitation group. We have, I think it's up to 8 people over at Frederick Mennonite Home. And our visitation team that goes there has started on, I think it's the 4th Friday of the month. They all get together for lunch. Well, other people see them having for lunch. Now they're invited. And this whole little thing is just growing. And they're blessing people that they didn't even know before they walked in the doors. And I just think that's great.
There's a lot of things here. I'll recognize Julie Umstead with the Right Next Step support group, really blessing our community. Our Trinity Benevolent Fund. So many of these things are possible because of your financial contributions. We, during the course of a year, maybe helping someone with an electric bill or helping them make sure they have oil, or they may need a little help with rent or giving groceries, that sort of thing. We do that. This year has been a big year for that. But there's so many things that are just here that maybe can give you an idea of how you practically can carry out this scripture. And I just want to encourage you to do that, to make a decision today to go away with a thankful heart, a worshiping heart, understanding that it carries on, it's a continual thing, and it bears fruit, because the overflow ends up doing good and sharing with those in need. And I just encourage you to be specific, practical about finding a way this week, this month, to do that. Those of you that have children at home, incorporate them in that. Make them a part of it. Be a blessing. I see a lot of movement in the foyer, and that means it must be time.
Time.
What time is it?
I have 10 after.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. Sorry, musicians, Lynn. Let's pray and be dismissed, okay? Father, we thank you for how you've blessed us, and it's been our privilege, our pleasure to worship you today and to be reminded of this scripture. And so help us, God, to make these sacrifices that you would be pleased to offer through Jesus, a continual sacrifice of praise, proclaiming our allegiance and not forgetting to do good and to share with those who are in need. May this church continue to bless the community and thus the world. I pray in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen. Amen.
Thanksgiving is a choice that I make. Thank you so much for being here. God bless your week, your Thanksgiving festivities. Have a great one.